We're continuing our journey this morning with the children of Israel, their journeys in the wilderness. Today's study focuses on the episode with the 12 spies. They were sent to spy out the promised land. The children of Israel have now arrived at Kadesh Barnea, 11 days' journey from Sinai. At this point, they have been approximately 2 years, from the moment God delivered them from Egypt, and they are right on the very border of the promised land. They are quite literally within touching distance of claiming the promises of God. And then there is crisis at Kadesh Barnea. So we're going to focus on really two chapters from Numbers chapters 13 and 14, but I want to read a couple of verses from Deuteronomy chapter 1 just for some context, some background. So a couple of verses first of all in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And verses 21 to 23. Behold, the Lord thy God, and Moses is looking back, he's reminiscing about the history of the children of Israel, and he says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. Now, back to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll just read some verses from chapters 13 and 14. So Numbers chapter 13, and reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, if we had only read from Numbers chapters 13 and 14, then you might have thought that the mission of the 12 spies was God's initiative. That's how it comes across when you read verses 1 and 2. That's why we read from Deuteronomy chapter 1. This was not God's initiative, this was man's initiative, and it's vitally important to keep that in your mind as we consider what happens. Moses challenged, the people to go in and to take the land which our God has given unto us. He set the land before us, he's promised us the land. Fear not, said Moses, neither be dismayed. Let's go up, possess the land. And the people's response was no. First, we'll send men before us and they will search out the land. And so there is a crisis at Kadesh Barnea. It's a crisis of confidence. Their confidence in God. They are doubting God. And at this point, the children of Israel have entered into the realm of unbelief. So, let's drop down to verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, from the southernmost to the northernmost borders. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where the children of Anak were. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they came, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of the land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. You know, there is a whole host of enemies in the land. Caleb stilled the people. The word stilled really means hush the people. So there must have been quite a commotion, a sense of panic after the report of the spies. So Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now the reaction of the people in chapter 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto him, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let's get us a new leader, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared." God intervenes. "The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Then from verses 13 down to 19, Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. He intercedes to God on behalf of the people. And God responds and says in verse 28, "Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise." And then verse 37, "Even those men that did bring up the evil report before the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And we look to God for help as we consider his word this morning. This episode with the 12 spies brings before us vital lessons, challenges about the subject of faith. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Of the 12 spies, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were men of faith. You know, they trusted God. They believed God's word, what God had told them, and they obeyed God. They lived, they walked by faith. Then there were 10, well, they walked by sight and not by faith. They were marked by unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe what God had said. They didn't believe God's word, and they disobeyed God. And it was an unbelief that spread like wildfire throughout the whole company. And the key theme of this passage, for me anyway, is the danger of unbelief. The danger of unbelief. Now when you come over to the New Testament, into the book of Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4, you know, the writer to the Hebrews makes that theme very clear. Referring to this very incident, we read in Hebrews chapter 3, and to whom did God swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now here's the application when you read into chapter 4 of Hebrews. Therefore, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Here is a warning. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, that is the children of Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. The true Christian's life is a life that is characterized by faith in God. Trusting God, believing God's word, obeying God, living out the truth of God's word in your life. I wonder if your life, if my life, is marked by faith and by obedience to God's word. The episode of the 12 spies really presents us with a stark warning about the danger of unbelief. The danger of living your life out with the will of God. It's a clear warning that the ultimate consequence of such a life is that you will end up spending your whole life, the rest of your life, wandering aimlessly throughout the wilderness, just waiting to die. Without God. The danger of unbelief. Another important lesson that I learned from the 12 spies is this, that faith affects your vision. Or more accurately, faith affects how you see things in life. Faith affects your perspective with which you view things in life. The 12 spies saw the same things. Joshua and Caleb did not dispute the facts. They saw the same things. It was the perspective with which they interpreted the things that they saw that made the difference. Faith affects your vision. Joshua and Caleb's vision was filled with God. They saw God in everything that they saw. You know, I was reading John Ritchie's little commentary, From Egypt to Canaan, and he makes this observation. that Caleb could have walked through the promised land blindfolded. You know, it didn't matter what he saw, whether it was giants, whether it was hosts of armies of enemies in opposition, whether it was cannibals or fierce man-eating animals or whatever he saw, it wouldn't have mattered to Caleb or to Joshua. Because he walked by faith and not by sight. His vision was filled with God, the true and living, almighty, sovereign God. A God who is faithful. A God who keeps his promises. A God who goes before his people. A God who guides and protects his people. A God who is almighty and powerful. A God who fights for his people. And it didn't matter what Caleb saw. You know, he knew that God had promised the land. He knew that God would give them the land. No matter what obstacles, no matter what opposition presented within their path. And so the report of the two, the report of Joshua and Caleb, was not based on what they saw, but it was based on what God had said. That's important. The ten, well, God was not in their vision, God was not even in their thinking, and they saw nothing but obstacles, they saw nothing but dangers and threats. They had lost sight of God. And they wouldn't enter into the blessings of God as a result. They wouldn't enter into the promised land. You know, Peter Morrow asked me if I was going to use the chorus, 12 men went to spy in Canaan this morning. And I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to ask you to sing it. It's one of the favourites at Kincorth on a Friday night. We normally sing it a number of times and we'll sing it faster and faster with the children. Maybe I should get you to do it that way this morning. But, you know, it sums things up. What did they see when they spied in Canaan? Some saw giants tough and tall. Some saw grapes in clusters fall. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What about your vision today? Does God fill your vision? Your perspective about the things that you see and the things that happen in your life? Do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, I quoted it earlier, without faith it is impossible to please God. Here's what the rest of that verse says. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The verb is exists. He that cometh to God must believe that God exists. What does that mean? What is the kind of faith that pleases God? Is the verse telling us that the kind of faith that pleases God is the kind of faith that makes a person believe that God exists? Well, no. It can mean that. I mean, it's true, of course, that's a prerequisite. You have to believe that God exists before you come to him, but the demons believe that God exists. That's not the kind of faith that pleases God. The kind of faith that pleases God is the faith that when it seems as though God doesn't exist, that you still come to him in faith and you still trust him. When you are surrounded by giants, when you are surrounded by enemies on every front, when you are surrounded by obstacles and dangers and threats, when you are, you know, in your life and there are nothing but problems, nothing but difficulties, and it seems as though God doesn't exist, and it seems as though God has abandoned you, but yet you walk by faith, and you trust in God, and you believe his word, that is the kind of faith that pleases God. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. For he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith affects your vision. Now, let's look more closely, just a few things in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I want to think about the danger of unbelief. And there are some really important lessons here. The danger of unbelief. And I have four simple headings. Each word begins with the letter D. So I'm thinking of the effects of unbelief. Maybe I should have thought about the defects of unbelief. But the first heading I want to think about is doubt. Doubting God. Doubting the word of God. That's chapter 13, verses 1 to 25. The second heading is discouragement. Thinking about the effect the report of the 10 spies had upon the people, the rest of the people, chapter 13, verse 26, down to verse 1 of chapter 14. Doubt, discouragement. The third effect, defiance, chapter 14, verses 2 to 10. You know, they stood in defiance to the will of God. Would that we had died in Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They stood in defiance to the word, to the will of God. And then finally, death. Chapter 14, verse 11 to the end. God's judgment came upon them. Immediate death of the 10 spies. The rest of the people from 20 years old upwards would wander in the wilderness waiting for death. All because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. So first of all, doubt. They doubted God. They doubted the word of God. They doubted the character of God. God had promised them the land. You know, before they had ever been delivered from Egypt, God had promised them he would bring them into this land. He had even told them about what they would see in the land. He had told them about the enemies that they would face. But he had told them that he would bring them in. God's promise was Israel's title deed to the land. God's promise was Israel's guarantee of victory. Whatever they faced, God's promise was their guarantee. They didn't need to send men into the land. The spies only came back and told them what God had already told them. They doubted God. They refused to accept God's word. They had complete disregard for the word of God, even after all that God had done for them, you know, delivering them from Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea, guiding them, protecting them, providing for them. Even after all that God had done, they doubted God. They doubted God. You know, Satan likes to sow seeds of doubt in our minds. We were thinking about that on Wednesday at the Bible study group. You know, the fall of man, Satan in the garden. Has God said? What is the answer to doubt? Well, it's faith. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, the shield of faith which quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith. It is to live like Caleb and Joshua. Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord, you know, he had a different spirit. Six times I think we read he wholly or fully followed the Lord. Joshua, Moses changed his name in Numbers 13 from Oshea, salvation, to Joshua, salvation of Jehovah. His very name reminded him that it was God that would deliver them. It was God who fought for them. So the people doubted God, and they wanted Moses to send men into the land to spy out the land. They wanted the assurance of men rather than to exercise faith in God. You know, sometimes we're guilty of the same thing. Sometimes we look to men rather than to God. Sometimes we'll believe things because it's what so-and-so believes. Sometimes we'll do things because it's what so-and-so does. And we have to understand that our ultimate authority is the word of God and not man. The people wanted to send spies into the land, so God let them. God let them have their own way. And they're now moving out with the will of God, which is a dangerous place to be. You know, they've set aside his word. They've set aside his promise and they're refusing to acknowledge the authority of God in their lives. You know, they're effectively saying to God, I want my way, not your way. And that's what God gave them. God gave them their way and they had to pay the consequences of doubting God. Now, they wouldn't enter into the promised land. They would never enter into the goodness of what God had in store for them. Now, the promised land, I'm not sure if this has been mentioned already in the series, but the promised land is not a picture of heaven. You know, there'll be no enemies, there'll be no battles in heaven, no opposition in heaven. The promised land is a picture of the spiritual inheritance that we enjoy now in Christ. You know, it's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It's the blessings that God has blessed us with. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has given us everything that we need in Christ. Every resource that we need to live a victorious life for Him. He's given us every resource in Christ. And as we progress through life, you know, claiming the promises of God, going through the promised land, yes, you'll face enemies, you'll face opposition, you'll face giants, you'll face discouragement, but you have every resource in Christ to overcome. If you spend your life in unbelief, doubting God and His Word, if you never have that moment of repenting of your sin and committing your life to Christ, you will never know the goodness of what God has for you in salvation. You will never enter into the blessings of God. So doubt. The second effect of unbelief was discouragement. The spies had been in the land 40 days. They spied from the south to the north. And they came back and they gave the report. They said the land was just as God said. They brought back the fruit. You know, it was so big, the clusters of grapes were so big, they had to put it on a pole. Two men had to carry it. If you go to Israel, you'll see that's a common ornament that you can buy when you're in Israel. They brought back pomegranates and figs. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But then the people, well, they said about the people are strong, the cities are fortified, there are giants, there are lots of enemies in the land. And they completely discouraged the people. And, there seems to be an uproar. There's panic breaking out. Discouragement is spreading throughout the people. And Caleb has to quieten the people down. And, you know, verse 32, the report of the ten is described as an evil report. You know, they exaggerated the dangers that they saw in the land. They completely discouraged the people. Now, there are three things I want you to notice about discouragement in this episode. First of all, I want you to notice how quickly it spread throughout the people. Discouragement is contagious. That's the point. It's far easier to discourage than encourage. And it's so easy to discourage God's people. There's a price to pay, but it is so easy to discourage rather than encourage God's people. Discouragement spread throughout the whole camp. Secondly, because they were walking by sight, because they lacked faith in God, God was no longer in their vision. They were now focusing on themselves. You know, they were focused on self. And they had a low opinion of themselves. You know, verse 31, we be not able to go up against this people. Verse 33, we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. You know, that's what tends to happen when you're discouraged. When you've lost sight of God in your life, you tend to focus on yourself. You dwell on your own failings, your own shortcomings. You have low self-esteem. Rather than remembering and rejoicing in the fact that you are linked forever with the Almighty God of heaven. That you are a child of God, that you have been brought into God's family. God now declares you a son, an heir. And that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. They were focused on self. They had a low view, a low opinion of what they actually were. But then thirdly, this discouragement, it brought a paralyzing fear among the people of God. Crippling, paralyzing fear. Verse 31, they are stronger than us. We are not able to go up against them. Verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried and wept that night. They were crippled with fear. They had lost sight of God. God was, you know, far from their thinking, far from their sight. They wouldn't obey God. They wouldn't go forward and claim and enter into the blessings of God. Paralyzed with fear. That's one of the effects of unbelief. A lack of faith can lead to crippling fear. You know, this is especially true when it comes to spiritual growth and development of God's people. Maybe it's a fear of the unknown. Not sure what lies ahead. Maybe I'll just wait and see how things pan out. Do nothing. Maybe it's a fear of failure. What if I mess this up? You know, what if I do this and fail? Do nothing. Maybe it's a fear of people. A fear of how people will react. Of how people will view you. Of how people will respond. Maybe it's a fear of family. And you wonder how your family will view whatever. So one of the challenges I take from this episode today is, I wonder if my fears, I wonder if your fears are keeping you back from spiritually growing and developing. I wonder if your fears are preventing you from entering in deeper and deeper into the enjoyment of the blessings of God in your life. Maybe it's fear of commitment. That's a big fear. Maybe you've not taken that step of becoming a member of a local church. Fear of commitment. Fear of being committed to having to make a contribution. Committing yourself to walk by faith with the Lord and with His people. Maybe it's a fear of others. Maybe you're scared about what other people will think of you. Maybe you're thinking about talking to someone about the gospel, talking to someone about the Lord Jesus, but you have that fear. What will they think of me? And it cripples your spiritual growth and development. Maybe you have a fear of taking part publicly. You know, in worship and in prayer. And it's not easy. But it's wonderful. What a wonderful thing just to express your heart to God. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's a combination. Maybe it's all of these things. Maybe that's, you know, that's, maybe it's keeping you back from making that commitment in your life to become a Christian. And your fears are keeping you back. What dispels fear is trust in God. Knowing God. Knowing the character of God. Knowing the promises of God. Letting God work in and through your life. You know, among the 12, there were two groups. There was a 10 and a 2. In every church, you'll have a 10 and a 2. Maybe not numerically, but practically, you'll have a 10 and a 2. One group who has spiritual vision. One group who has God in their sights. One group who lives by faith. Has their vision fixed upon God. The other group who see nothing but obstacles. Nothing but difficulties. Nothing but hardship. And they're ruled and they're governed by fear. And it prevents and it cripples spiritual growth and development. You know what I mean? Let's go and do this for the Lord. Let's go and extend the building. No, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. too expensive. Let's do this in terms of outreach. We'll never get anyone to come in. No one will be interested. We don't have enough resource. It's too difficult. Why don't we try this? The 10 and the 2. You know, sometimes we lose sight of God. And we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. And we allow our fears to overcome us. And we fail to make spiritual progress. We fail to live by faith. We fail to grow and develop spiritually. The third effect of unbelief is defiance. We've thought about doubt. We've thought about discouragement. Defiance. Now into verse 2 of chapter 14. They defied the will of God for them. How sad to read. You know, you think about their state of mind here. This is what doubt does to a person. Doubting God, doubting the word of God. Think of the state of mind. Think of what they're actually saying. Would to God that we died in the land of Egypt. Would God that we had died in this wilderness. You know, there's a lesson here. Be careful. Be careful of what you say to God when you are living outside of His will. God may just grant you what you ask for. And you don't really know what you're asking for. They wish they had died in the wilderness. God would give them exactly what they wanted. Verse 4, their defiance was manifested towards their leaders. Let us make a captain. Let's get a new leader and return to Egypt. You know, the problem was not in their own hearts as far as they were concerned. It was a problem, of poor leadership. They wanted a new leader. That's often the case, isn't it? Blame the leaders, the spiritual leaders. And then further, they wanted to return to the very place that God had just delivered them from. Defiance of the will of God. Verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the people. Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. They pleaded with the people just one last time. God will bring us into this land. Don't rebel against God. Fear not. Don't be frightened of the people. They are bread for us. They'll become our food. You know, that was the difference between the 10 and the 2. The 10 said, this is a land that eateth up its inhabitants. We'll become their food. Joshua and Caleb said, they'll become our bread. They'll become our food. The difference that faith makes to vision. Verse 10, the congregation wanted to murder Joshua and Caleb there and then. They wanted to stone them, but God intervenes. And he declares that he's going to smite them there and then. He's going to disinherit them. He's going to make a greater nation out of Moses. This is God's anger with his people. In verses 13 to 19, Moses, a true spiritual leader, a heart for the people, he intercedes on their behalf and he pleads with God. And it brings us to the last effect of unbelief, death. The judgment of God comes upon his people. God allowed them to have their own way. But now they must face the consequences of doubting God and of disobeying God. The 10 spies faced death. Verse 37. In verses 29 to 35, we see God's judgment upon the rest of the people. And we see something here of God's grace. He spares the people from death. Again, he says, your little ones I will bring in and they shall know the lands. God's grace here. But then we also see God's government. You know, the punishment that God pronounced upon the people. They will wander in the wilderness 40 years in total. Another 38 years from the two that have already been in the land. And those who are 20 years old and upwards would die in the wilderness. Just what they wished for. Just what they asked for. And they would never enter the promised land. But as for Joshua and Caleb, God honours those who honour him. Honour God in your life, and God will honour you. They would enter the promised land. You know, you read over in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, Caleb, 45 years, he's 40 years old. Another 45 years have passed, he's 85 years old in Joshua, chapter 14. And he is given Hebron for his inheritance, and he drives out the giants from the land. Joshua would become Moses' successor, and he would lead the people into the promised land. Interesting thing, you know, I was thinking about that Joshua and Caleb still had to wander with the rest of the people who wanted to stone them, who wanted to murder them. Joshua and Caleb still had to wander in the land for those 40 years. The effects of unbelief, you know, affected them. And so the chapter ends, and it ends, you know, with a desperately sad situation. You'll get some of the background in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The very day after their failure, when Moses had told them they should be heading south to the wilderness, the people want to go up and they want to fight against their enemies. And God says, no, you'll not go up. I'm not among you. You'll not go up and fight. You'll be defeated. You've turned away from me. I'm not with you. And what did they do? They disobeyed God. Yet again, they disobeyed God. And they went up to fight. And they were defeated. And they were driven back. A people who doubted God, a people who walked by sight and not by faith, a people who disobeyed God, a people who were powerless without God, and a people who would ultimately wander in the wilderness, just waiting to die. Are you living? Are you walking by faith in your life? Are you entering into the blessings that God has for you in Christ Jesus? Are you growing and developing spiritually as a Christian? You know, wandering in unbelief, living your life out with the will of God, is a dangerous place to be. May God bless us. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for your word today. We give you thanks that we have been able to remember your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we just pray that your Spirit would take your word and apply it to each and every heart. We pray that it may produce fruit in our lives. We pray that it might bring glory to your name. And Father, that you would continue to build your church. We pray that you would work in our hearts here. Pray that this testimony might be a glory to your name. Bless the children too. We ask for your help in the preaching of the gospel. Whatever your word is declared today, we pray it may go forth in power. We pray that souls might be saved and your church expanded. Father, we ask these things in your will, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.